Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Right across from the Player Hotel, a 25-story banner that featured Anthony Davis's face, LeBron James' face, Kyrie Irving's face advertising this game.
We are not apologizing for Daryl exercising his freedom of expression.
There was a lone construction worker on a cherry pear who was ripping it off of the building.
These are real communists.
All he can do is keep repeating everything he said today.
We are not apologizing.
And just hope the fallout isn't as bad as it looks.
When was the last time you negotiated with communists?
How tough a decision was it yesterday to release Ben Watson?
We don't have a roster spot for him right now.
For as great as a player he was 10 times better person.
Part of the business, and it's a sucky situation.
I can't say enough good things about Ben, what he's meant to me and my family, our team. So we're going to miss him.
Right now.
That fat mustache Glenn Ordway.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Mutt trying to attack me. See?
Mutt has had it out for you for
we
a while.
I thought we were over that.
I think
over
there
that
needs
Mutt.
To be a, like a Mutt celebrity attack. Boxing match.
So what was Mutt attacking me for last night? Do we know exactly why? Because I loved the show last night. I thought it was good again. What was the problem?
I'm Glenn Ordway. I pushed Johnny Most downstairs.
What was the problem? We know the problem?
Nobody knows.
It may have been cut number 7 on your sheet there.
Okay, play cut number 7 on my sheet.
Cut number 7? Okay.
Yeah, let's go with number 7. Can we have number 7?
From the Mutt at Night program
number
last
Number 7,
night.
Ryan.
I did not know this. So someone just tweeted in that right before 6 o'clock, that fat mustache Glenn Ordway suggested that Hannibal was going to be on the show. Ordway literally said during the crossover, Mutt with Ryan Hannibal next. After we talked behind, maybe he didn't know. I mean, I guess he...
You didn't let him in on the...
I wanted to surprise people. It's Tuesday night. They want a surprise in their life. They probably had a crummy day like I did. Traffic sucks right now. It's going to rain the next 2 days. I want to lighten their moods a little bit. So thank you, Glenn, for ruining it. Thanks a lot, Glenn.
Was he talking about a fat mustache or me, a fat guy wearing a mustache?
So, yeah, he promoted, though. He kept teasing surprise guest and at the cross. And when we took off, he said, Mutt with Ryan Hannibal.
Poor Ryan Hannibal had to be the surprise guest. Like, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And I like Ryan. I'm not saying anything negative. But we were told to promote your show, Mutt.
Well,
so they
well,
gave
we
us
that,
a rundown.
We do that, you know, on our own free will. We want to do it.
So Mutt, we asked Mutt who was going to be on the show that night so we could promote it. But Mutt doesn't remember that we actually asked him. Now, we can go back to the old days, Mutt. We can just ignore you. We can ignore you.
That
we can sit there and say,
mustache,
what?
Glenn Ordway.
Well, who told you Ryan Hannibal was in with him?
Ryan, right there.
Oh.
But no,
who
he was doing the right
me?
Thing. No,
what do you think
I was
told
asking,
me, though?
No, I was asking.
Curtis.
We were trying to promote Mutt's show. Now, if you'd like us not to promote it, by the way, Thursday night, tomorrow night, he's at Encore. Usually it's with Tom Curran. He's with Wiggy tomorrow.
You did it again.
Black
guest
man,
angle.
Surprise guest coming up tomorrow with Encore. All right, but usually it's Curran.
It's Mutt at Night with Wiggy, live from Encore Boston Harbor.
I even have the open. He's really going to be pissed at me tonight. So we promote his show because we like Mutt and we want you to listen because the show is good. If you don't want to, I'll just ignore you, Mutt.
Here we go. Open.
I'll do what Kirk and Jerry used to do. Just ignore you. Yeah. I can do that. You
I'm not dumb.
That's the baseball. I don't know about that.
That's how my brain works.
But he's entertaining. He is entertaining. Yes. He'll be on tonight at 6 o'clock. Who's he on with tonight? I don't care if he's got a special guest. Leak it out. Who is it?
Oh,
Steve Kerr.
Now he won't tell me.
Steve Kerr, tonight at 6 o'clock with Mutt. He's going to give every angle of the whole situation with the NBA in China.
We'll figure it out.
We had Ben Watson, special guest at
2:30. We did.
Earlier today. And we asked him whether he regretted coming out of retirement.
I do have a desire to play, but even in making a decision to come here, you know, that was tough because at this point, you know, there's only certain places, organizations, situations that you want to volunteer to put yourself in. I don't regret it. You know, when I was released, of course, I thought, man, I did all that and it turned out like this. I definitely had some disappointment and wondered how maybe it could have been different if I didn't decide just to stick to what I was doing and not try to play again. But at the same time, this was an opportunity and I went for it.
Yeah. But I mean, we said when he got cut, we were going over like his side of it. Here's a guy that came out of retirement, knew that, you know, once he retired, he wanted to repair his body. So maybe took some HGH to try to repair his body. Coming out of retirement, knew that he probably would fail this test, did, It was made public.
Becomes embarrassing.
Becomes embarrassing. Decides to take time away from his family, train, work out, go to camp, try this game one more time because he still has that love for it. Only to find out after 4 weeks of serving this public suspension, they don't have a roster spot for him.
Well, it's almost worse when you mention the family aspect of it. So he's not away from his family. He actually moved uprooted him. His family. He's got seven kids under 10. 10 or under, and moved them all up, put them in new schools. Obviously, he's not employed anymore, so he's just staying here. He's got people coming in, visiting him, because those people who are visiting him got their tickets earlier with the assumption that he was going to be on the team.
So it's amazing. I think we've all come to the conclusion here that they just wanted to free up his money. But how different would it be if he didn't have the four-game suspension? He would have been on the roster from day one. Or
Lacoste didn't play week one.
Or if Antonio Brown situation played probably out differently, right?
Yeah, but you go to what you're talking about. Like he said it's very important for him, and you respect the hell out of him, right? Obviously a good man. When he said he takes his whole family with him, because it's important for him to spend time with his wife and his kids and be there and put them to sleep and all of these things. So he's a good family man. He's also had the luxury, and Christian, he's never really been traded or moved wherever he goes, whether it's New England, whether it's Cleveland, whether it's New Orleans. He had 1 year in Baltimore. He's there for the entire season. So he signed with New England. He moved his family to New England. His kids are in school. He's now a free agent. What if 2 weeks he decides that he wants to, sign with another team?
Well, then that team,
what if, like, the Rams come calling and Everett gets hurt and they're like, hey, we need a tight end.
Pack them all up. Let's go.
Take them all out of school. Now they're in school here for the year in New England, in Boston area. So now we pack up the whole family and we go to L.A. and hope that works out for the rest of the year.
Bi-coastal.
That's not an easy way to live.
No. That's amazing because we laughed about Bill Belichick on Monday basically saying didn't have a roster spot. And, we're sitting there going, oh, okay, this is Bill speak in an interview.
Well, if we sign someone, course, we have to cut him, Lou.
Of course, Lou was asking the question, so that always taints it a little bit. But apparently he claimed that it was the exact same answer back on all of these things. But I thought it was interesting when you asked him, I think it was you, Christian, when did he start to expect that this was going to happen, that he was going to get released?
When I came back off my suspension and came back into the building that week and I wasn't activated the first week, I thought maybe something was up, but I didn't know for sure. I mean, you just don't know how it's going to go from week to week, and you just stay prepared. So I stayed prepared and obviously, mentally, physically throughout that whole time and was ready to go. I did know that, when it comes to football is a team sport. It's about momentum. It's about camaraderie, those sorts of things. Coaches have to make decisions about what they think the best grouping is of players for their rosters. And, then coming back on Monday, I knew that was the day, and I hadn't heard anything throughout the day. So I was just waiting for the conversation. Either way, and then after meetings, I talked to Bill and Nick, and they told me that I was going to be released.
Yeah, so that to me was interesting because here's a guy this has never happened to him before. He's been in the league for 15 years, and so he's seen countless friends, countless colleagues, teammates, get that call, be in a contract situation, and, be cut either before this season or during the season. So he's seen it happen, and I'm sure there's been some, fear that it could happen to him. But the older you get, and then you get all this guaranteed money, you're feeling like, this will never happen to me. I'm going to be one of the few to get by without ever being called into the coach's office. And sure enough, it happens.
Well, think about, so you come back after serving four-game suspension. You can report, Monday. You can start practicing whenever it happens. So put yourself in his shoes. You serve a four-game suspension. You come back on Monday, and you're waiting for someone to just pull you in and just say, hey, all set. You're activated.
Well, the thing, did you pick up on this? So you asked what happened on Wednesday, because on Wednesday, he gets reinstated on Monday.
He didn't practice Wednesday.
But he just said there was stuff going on, basically. There was, management issues. They were just taking care of some things.
Right.
What was
contract?
What was that? Do you have that? Let me hear it.
Yeah, no, I wasn't hurt. That was just part of the, you know, I was just following directions, and we were doing some things internally. So that wasn't, I don't think, any reason to raise an eyebrow. I mean, you know, I was you know, it worked out. I actually saw Christian one day when I was working out. So over the course of the suspension, so I saw him on the field
fine.
One
That's
day.
Good. That's good. So yeah, suppose so internal that. Issue suppose following, that but just following directions.
I'm just saying. So Wednesday they don't activate you. You show up Tuesday. You know, I don't know if Tuesday what workout film. You tell me. I don't know Tuesday.
Show up Monday.
All right. Yeah, I'm saying Monday, but they don't activate you. You show up Tuesday. You know, Wednesday. At what point do you sort of be like, you know, you look at your position coach or maybe your agent, and you're like, hey, yeah. What's going on? Like, yeah. I know. I heard Bill. I heard right. Bill
I
on
Wednesday.
Yeah, I heard yeah. Bill with OMF say we've got an exemption. You know, yeah. We don't have to activate him yet. But guys around the league that have come back from 4-game suspensions have been activated. Golden Tate was activated on Monday. Like, what are we doing here?
All
Thursday,
the other guys in the
practice
past have been
Friday,
activated.
You practice. Nothing. Like every day you walk in the practice with every day you're sitting going, all right, what am I doing? Why haven't you activated me yet? And then on Saturday, you find out you're not traveling with the team, and now you're like, whoa, wait a
well,
minute.
Well, here's the thing. He would know even more he didn't practice on Wednesday, so he showed up on Thursday.
Practice Thursday, Friday.
So you'll know you're not getting any reps. You saw that game plan. Heavy dose of two tight end sets. How many of those reps, those first team reps, was he taking? If you know, as a coaching staff, Izzo and Lacoste are going to be your guys, you're not giving up those reps to Ben Watson when you know that he's not going to be playing. So I would say Thursday. So because if Edelman came back, Rob Ninkovich came back, Rodney Harrison, you name them, Edelman, all these guys came back, they were thrown right into the first team right away. They had all been practicing.
And they'd be active.
So I would like, no, this doesn't smell right.
Yeah. Right.
I've been watching the games.
Flag goes off.
I know what Ryan Izzo can do. I see Lacoste is not available. Even when he's there, he's not playing great.
Something smells funny.
Doesn't smell good, Joe.
No.
The other one was, I don't know if you have the last one. I thought this was... This
the
was
Young a, Brady versus the...
No, no, not that one. I think this was your question, because I want to know, is he... was there any, you know, were they try to keep him? Did they try to restructure him? Did they try and figure out a way to keep him? Was it a salary issue, which we all thought?
No. They didn't. I think... I don't really know how it works coming off the exempt list, honestly. I guess they can restructure any time, but no, that wasn't a conversation. Look, what Coach Belichick told everybody in the press conference was what he told me. You know, he was pretty straightforward and honest with me as well as with you all. Was just that, you know, that he didn't want to put me on the roster.
It was interesting. Brady went out of his way to say these unbelievable things about Ben Watson. And Justin in Rhode Island has a question about Brady. Go ahead, Justin. It's a good question.
How you guys doing?
Good.
How you guys doing? Corey, I had a quick question for you since you're pretty tight with Watson. I guess I'll just get right to it. I was wondering if you think Brady maybe has known, for a week or so, maybe Bill pulled him aside and said, hey, we're not going to bring Watson back on. Kind of because of the way he's making the comments about the veterans and needing veterans and experienced guys, whether it's wide receiver or not. I was just curious to know what you thought about that.
I don't think he was informed, hey, this is what we're thinking, but I do think he's obviously aware of how things work. He's been here a long time, and I think you just know when something doesn't seem right. Like I said, when Izzo's in the huddle and Ben's in the background.
Especially.
Ben's in the background. Ben's not even in the huddle. So they're right next to each other. Hey, man, I'm not even in the game plan. They didn't even have that. There's not an 84 to be seen, not even on red zone. None of this stuff. First and second down? I don't think I'm going to play. So, yeah, I think Brady knew, but I don't think they're including him on all personnel decisions.
As great as a player he was 10 times better person.
So then when we asked him the question about, and because he's the one guy you can ask this question to, young Brady versus old Brady, and how different he might be.
He's still elite. He still has energy. He still throws a great, you know, pass. He's still very, very sharp mentally, which he would even tell you that's, you know, one of his biggest assets. You know, when I sit there, and you know, one of the great things that, you know, no matter how this plays out moving forward, one of the things I'll cherish, obviously, is, you know, sitting beside him, you know, every day during training camp with their lockers next to each other. And then even the past couple of weeks, just, you know, sitting there talking about our families, about our life. I mean, so much has changed in the decade. I mean, he's got kids. I have kids. We've both been married, you know, for years now, and we both got gray hair. And, you know, we can sit there and talk about things that we probably wouldn't have talked about 10 years ago because our lives are so much different. So all that stuff has changed. But I really cherish the fact of being able to just reconnect with him and spend time with him because, I mean, you guys know him as a player. You know him kind of personally, but he really is one of the most genuine, you know, and just heartfelt, caring people that I've ever met. But he still has a desire to play. He's like, I really enjoy playing the game. I love to compete, and you can see it. And that's why he's so good. That's why everybody rises to the occasion around him.
All right, Ben Watson on Tom Brady. I find it particularly interesting that people are looking nationally at highlights of Tom Brady, or in this case, lowlights. So we've seen a couple of interceptions in the last couple of weeks in the red zone. The national media do not see all of these games. They watch Thursday night, they watch Sunday night, they watch probably a 4 o'clock game, maybe a 1 o'clock game. But if you noticed, the Patriots have not had the A team announcers at any of their games so far.
Right.
And there's a reason.
The night games.
Right. Right. Yeah. The reason is they're playing crappy teams and they're playing at 1 o'clock against crappy teams.
Trent Green.
So it is right.
Dan Fouts.
Green, awful.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan.
So they're creating this narrative that is so stupid on its face. So this is Nick Wright talking about Brady this morning.
They are searching offensively. And the guy who's always been able to solve it for them, Tom Brady, has looked like a 42-year-old. No, he's looked like a 38-year-old quarterback. Not a 38-year-old Tom Brady, but he's looked like a quarterback that is approaching the very end. Now, because he's 42, he's still playing at the highest level any quarterback his age has ever played at. But I said this before the show, and I mean it. In 2017, the New England Patriots had three quarterbacks on their roster: Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Jacoby Brissett. In 2019, the quarterback of those three that's playing the worst is Tom Brady. And I don't know if that continues. Wow. But he doesn't have the cavalry coming to help him reinforcement-wise on the offensive line or skill position, guys.
Okay, here's what he did. He watched
about reinforcements. You're telling
me
he's not playing.
No,
right now.
He watched Jacoby Brissett on Sunday night.
Yep.
With a great offensive line and Marlon Mack running the ball at will for about 6.5-7 yards every single carry. Right. That's what he saw, and he looked at that and said, "Oh my God, Jacoby Brissett." Now he looks at the other game, night game. And he watches Jimmy Garoppolo, who has, by the way, 7 touchdowns. He also has 4 picks to those 7 touchdowns.
I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo looked great.
He did not.
Like, the defense was unbelievable.
But
I don't think he.
But that's the point I'm making. He is not looking at the play of the quarterback. Of those three guys, Tom Brady has been the best quarterback of the three. Now, if you want to look at the offenses, look at the numbers.
I'm just looking at the stats.
He's not even looking at the stats of Tom Brady.
You know, and it's so pathetic.
It's foolish.
Let me just see, because I had this one stat I was going to share with you guys, and I said, okay, so he comes up and he chirps away, and I'm like, all right, let me just see where they're at. Brady, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is obviously first, and then Brady's...
Russell Wilson's been great.
Yeah, Russell Wilson's been great.
Yeah,
but those other guys, that's not the case. That's just flat out inaccurate. So I found this one stat, and it talks about, you know, people always talk about Brady. He's a dink and dunk passer. He doesn't throw the football down the field. So here's a passing grade on attempts, 20 yards or more downfield, minimum 10 attempts. This is per at Pro Football Focus. Wilson's number one, Watson's number two, Prescott, Mahomes at 94.8, and Brady is number five at 93.9%. That's what he's doing.
Tom Brady, so, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Jacoby Brissett. In 2019, the quarterback of those three that's playing the worst is Tom Brady.
This is the most foolish thing in the world.
Nothing is back.
Crazy.
You know, here's what it is. It's so weird. And there's other stats that show that we all look at it and go, wow, this is so weird. This is so different. But the reality is that he's not as far off as he was in years past. It just looks clumsy. And I would also say the defense gets a lot of the attention.
So what's happening?
But I said this before the show, and I mean it.
So what's happening here is...
What if you say it before the show? Do you not mean it?
But what people don't realize is the last 2 weeks you've had a hurt, I won't say injured, a hurt Julian Edelman, who is fighting through it, and give him all the credit in the world. He is fighting through this stuff and playing with an awful lot of pain. As we pointed out earlier, Josh Gordon's not getting great separation. Tom Brady's back there in the pocket. He's got a makeshift left tackle who they picked up here a few weeks ago off the scrap heap. He's got a backup center. So he's fighting through all of that stuff without great separation with the receivers. He doesn't have a really good running attack. Matter of fact, at times they've had a non-existent running attack. And he's still putting up unbelievable numbers. And look at the scoreboard at the end of each one of these games. This has been a phenomenal, historically great defense. Yet the offense is still putting up 30 points a game.
So let me ask you a question. So were you... Because I think everyone saw that Kansas City game. Maybe they saw the score. Maybe they just saw the highlights or the headlines about how dominant the Indianapolis Colts were on the road, and it's the same game plan, right? It's the blueprint. I told you guys on Tuesday, the headline on Good Morning Football was, did the Indianapolis Colts show you the blueprint to beat the Chiefs? My answer was no, the Patriots did it last year because, you know, it worked for them. So sure enough, we think, okay, so fine, you're going to play the Chiefs, you're playing them at home. You got the blueprint. It's already worked for you. But Teddy's sitting here telling me that it's not even close to being the same as last year. The offensive line is not nearly as dominant.
Devlin, Gronk, Ryan.
Oh, there's so many guys that are gone. So if you think that the Patriots are going to be able to attack the Kansas City Chiefs like the Colts did, you're mistaken.
They don't have the
run
game.
It's not going to happen.
They don't have the run game.
No, it's not going to happen. So are you nervous about that? Does that kind of, you know, make you pause and go, wait, maybe they're not in as good a position as they were as you thought?
Not right now.
Because that would be how they beat them.
Well, see what it develops. Is it safe to say that the Pats' defense is probably better than the Colts?
Yes.
Okay, and that's it. That's the difference. So you don't run the ball as well as the Colts, but your defense is better. But I just, you know, it's funny because, you know, after week two when Antonio Brown was there, you know, when you looked at the first couple of games from Tom Brady, it was like off the charts. I think his quarterback rating in both week one, we didn't even have Antonio week one. Week two was like 125. Like, it was ridiculous. And even the Jets, he had that one game against Buffalo. But to sit there and say, yes, the San Francisco 49ers are 4-0, it's not because of Jimmy Garoppolo. It's not. Like, he's a good quarterback. We all know what he is. But it's not. Their defense is very, very good. So, and then the same thing with Brissett. It's like they beat the Chiefs. Was that Jacoby Brissett beating the Chiefs? Or was that a defense? We talk about Mahomes' ankle. They weren't the same. They didn't have this guy. They didn't have that guy. They had a bunch of injuries, too. They ran the football well. Nick Wright is just trolling.
Can I say a bad word? Can I say a bad word? He managed the game, Brissett, the
other night.
Managed
the game. And people, we got to stop using managing the game as a negative, in my mind.
Right.
That's called being a quarterback.
Absolutely.
So when people say Brady's now a manager, well, what does that mean? Oh, he takes what the defense gives him. He gives up the ball and takes a 5-6 yard pass that's wide open rather than continually looking downfield and being 2nd and 10 because it's just not there. Or 2nd and 18 because you got sacked. So many times when you watch young quarterbacks in this game, you see it all the time. They don't take what they give them, and it's a negative play. Why? Because they're young. They're rookies. They don't know how to manage a football game. Managing a football game should not be a negative. It's taking what the team gives you, whether it's short passes, deep passes, you name it. That should be a positive.
He was Jacoby Brissett. We love him. He's one of us. He's one of us, right? So he was 18 of 29 for 151 yards.
He was awesome.
He threw one interception.
But you know what
he had a 61 quarterback rating.
He's playing better than Brady.
You know, he ran for 9 yards.
Against that defense? I mean, that's a legit defense, Kansas City.
He was scrambling. He was in trouble. That's why he ran. I remember that play.
Average 1.5 yards.
But here's where Nick Wright, what he's doing, is he watched the game, and he actually thought Brissett was the difference in the game. Instead of looking at Marlon Mack and that offensive line, that was the difference in the game. Okay? They tortured the Chiefs' defense. That was the game. That's who you praise, not the quarterback. Tom Brady is playing without having much in the receiver core so far this year. And his main guy is beaten up. He has got no running game. Okay, and yet he's making it happen. I think Brady's having a terrific season, but Nick Wright and others have looked at the lowlights.
But I said this before the show, and I mean it.
I mean it. They're looking at the lowlights, the two interceptions, which were both bad, in the red zone, right? That's what they're looking at. And the Patriots are playing at 1 o'clock. He's not seeing the game.
What's the highlight
show? It's a regional telecast. He's not seeing it.
When you watch highlight films of the Patriots' victory, what do you see in the highlights? They'll probably show the Brady pick a couple times.
Here comes the cliff.
Right. And then they'd show the defense.
Right.
Just destroying Washington, Buffalo, whoever it is. So with the highlights that you're sitting there, your little highlight reel, is nothing but the defense playing great and the two picks we've seen the last 2 weeks from Tom Brady. And it just, it's amazing. You could sit there and watch Brissett last week and just say that he's playing better, or even Garoppolo the other night saying he's playing better. Like you said, Christian, we like him. I want to see what Garoppolo is. San Fran, I think, is a good team.
Yeah.
You sure he'll be there week 16?
I don't know.
Garoppolo?
No, I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to wait to see. Inside the NFL last night spent about a minute on the Patriots game last weekend because they're looking at it saying, oh, this is nothing against Washington, please. Spent more time talking about Jay Gruden getting fired. But there was an interesting comment made last night by Brandon Marshall on the Patriots.
Did you guys know that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick came in together in 2000?
Yes, mm-hmm. I knew that.
So here's my prediction. The Patriots will finish this year undefeated, the regular season undefeated. They will go to the Super Bowl. They will win the Super Bowl, making up for the 2007 season. Belichick and Brady will retire.
Are you, sure you haven't started that boxing career already?
Phil, what are you talking about?
Phil, he's everywhere right now. Right.
What was Ray Lewis saying?
I don't know. They're trying to be funny on the show.
Oh, God forbid. They're trying to be funny.
Yeah. Is he out of his mind here? I mean, does anybody really believe?
Let's not act like this hasn't been said.
No, I don't think Belichick's walking away if they go
16. Well, no, I'm just saying. I mean, we've heard this many, many times. So if they go undefeated and they win the Super Bowl, Brady will retire.
I think there could be a chance that Brady would walk away.
Well, Belichick might too.
He's saying both. Because did you know? They both came in the same time.
They're both going to leave at the same time. Wow, how cool would that be?
Okay, a holding hands?
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick
arm in arm
came in together in 2000?
Yes.
With music in the background?
Jesus. I know. That felt a little bit more realistic back when they had Antonio Brown. One week when they had Antonio, we're like, wow, I could see it.
So you want to see what Vegas says?
About
16-0 odds. 16-0 odds. Yes. Plus 425. No. Minus 800. That's Bovada. Those are the odds.
You could be like that guy who's Mattress Mac, whatever that dude's name is, that betting on all the Houston Astros games. Right. He bet like $3.5 million that they win the World Series. How do you think he's feeling right now? He just doubled down. He just put more money on it.
A lot better than the person that bet in the Braves today. They're down 9-0 in the first inning.
That's it?
Man on first and one out. Man on second, one out. They're down 9-0 in the first.
Thanks for coming.
They told him you can't do the tomahawk chop.
See you later. Thanks for coming.
Holy tomahawk smokes.
So they're backing off the tomahawk chop?
I would say right now they're about to leave. It's 9-0. There's one out and a man on second base. I mean, they're about to go through their third pitcher.
Imagine that. You get all excited about the game. The series is all tied up, and this is what you do. So, apparently, the Braves are discontinuing the practice of handing out those foam tomahawks.
Yeah, why?
So, because Cardinal pitcher Ryan Helmsley, he's a Cherokee Nation member, and apparently he was not happy about the fact that they do it. They've done it for years. You know,
so does Florida State.
Florida State does it.
Are you allowed to even say that?
What?
No.
I just did. I don't think Helmsley is listening.
This is the reason why.
Yeah, because they want to be.
So he got in their head.
Yes,
that's what
it is.
It's 9-0. Yeah. How's that on him?
How's that working out for?
9-0. Fulton Navich.
That's exactly. So they took away the tomahawk chop.
That's what it
from
is.
The fans, and they're down 9-0 in the first inning.
Unbelievable.
Does that mean they can't use their hands? Can they not do the chop?
I don't know.
Not that they're gonna now down 9-0, but I mean, does that mean you can't even chant it?
I saw some people tweeting out that they were doing it anyways, but they're just using their hands. Like people at Florida State, they just use their hands.
Right.
It's one of the coolest things ever.
Yeah. Well, apparently not to this
guy.
Can't do it anymore. So they cut it out because they wanted to be very sensitive and considerate. To Helmsley, and they're paying the price. Jesus. They're down 9-0, but the crowd's quiet. The crowd is really quiet.
The Red Sox got rid of Sweet Caroline, and they never win a game.
Thank God, you know, there's no major league team in the town where they filmed Footloose.
Yes.
No dancing. No dancing.
Unbelievable. So Antonio
Baseball
Brown
is truly America's pastime. I love it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, we all love it. If you missed it, Antonio Brown today on Instagram, he went live today, and he basically said, hey, if you want me back, New England Patriots, hey, you're paying me, I'll come back.
Isn't it high schools?
I'm going to do everything to give back, you know. And if I could ever get back in the game, I got us. So, time out. I'm going to get back to work. Hope you guys having a beautiful day. Yeah, you guys follow the Patriots, tell them call me. They still got to pay me, so might as well let me earn it. XFL, never. That was not even in the question. Kimmy, I'm in the city, yo. This is where it all started. Shout out to my family and everyone still holding it down. Shout out to everybody tuning in. All right. In life, man, some things happen that may not go to according. Maybe but I'll say one thing, man. Always stand on principles.
Oh, yeah.
Always stand on priorities.
Principle guy.
And always be your best.
Always a principle guy.
God is the greatest. Yep. Keep praying for me.
Always a principle guy. You know that. But if there's a little two extra pieces of furniture in his place, he's tossing it into the swimming pool.
Did Tom Brady like that post?
I don't know. Did he? We should check that out.
Yeah, we should.
He's not coming back. But we're going to talk about this all year long, and then the season is over. I don't believe if they do not reach their goal of getting to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl, we're not going to be sitting there blaming it on the defense. We're going to blame it on the fact that they screwed this Antonio Brown thing up.
Whether you think they should
in
have
more
kept
ways
him?
Than one.
Whatever.
Yes, I do.
I agree. They should have kept him until the league pulled them off the field, and it's a $5 million penalty, and given where they are right now, it makes it harder for them. Maybe they lost, you know, Ben Watson because of it. And I still want to see what Demaryius Thomas turns into in New York. They lost him. And that $5 million, they don't have to wait till week 8. Maybe they go get that guy right now if they had $9 million in cap space, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Can't do it. They're handcuffed in what they can do. They have very few moves they can make. And I'm sorry. If you were going to take that much time and effort to bring in Antonio Brown, you knew what he was. When you were bringing him in here, you knew that you were giving him that $9 million bonus money up front. You have to stick with him until something major happens. And already, the woman, Brittany Taylor, has changed. She's withdrawn the lawsuit. Apparently, she's going to file it now in Broward County because she got the wrong address of where he lived. That, to me, is already shaky. Second of all, if you remember when the NFL brought Brittany Taylor in, they brought her in to interview her on a Monday. They interviewed her for 12 hours, and it was 2 days after she got married, and they did not interview Antonio Brown on his day off the very next day. Why not? Not on Wednesday, not on Thursday, not on Friday. Matter of fact, they still have not interviewed Antonio Brown for that case. So did they hear enough from Brittany Taylor to sit there and say, she's a gold digger. This is going nowhere.
Kimmy, I'm in the city, yo.
Why?
I don't know.
So, but they're going to live with this right now.
There's new information on his. We'll get to it. Maybe I'll read it when you.
By the way, 10-0. First inning's over. 10-0. They should not start Jack Flaherty. They should save him for the first game in the NLCS. I would go bullpen day.
I would go back to the tomahawk chop right now. Yep.
They are doing it. They're trying to. It's not working.
Don't even pitch him. 10-0.
This hour of the show being brought to you by Golfers Warehouse.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. We're here until 6 o'clock. Then you got Mutt. Terrific show. Tonight's special guest that he'll tease for about an hour. Fool you. Say, we got a special, big, huge guest, and you'll think it's somebody.
Here
really
goes
big.
Wiggy.
It's Andy Hart. Andy Hart's coming in at 7 tonight.
Dunsky.
By the way, after what?
I just blow it again.
I'm trying to promote the show. Andy Hart at 7, Mutt between 6 and 7. So here's Antonio Brown today tweeting out, this was 6 hours ago, word from my therapist, the best wide receiver in the world is home in Miami. Now, is that his, like his therapist for his head or?
Kimmy, I'm in the city, yo.
Or is that is his body therapist?
I feel like he's got a lot of
whichever
people.
Therapist it is, he ain't paying them.
Yo, this is the thing with
or her.
Pay in advance. If you're going to hire
If you were going to work for Antonio Brown, wouldn't you expect all the money up front?
Down payment at
least. This point? Yeah. I would think so.
Yeah.
Don't worry, man. I'll hook you up.
Yeah, yeah. No. We're good. I'll see you tomorrow.
Look, I just tweeted about
it's
you.
It's in the mail.
I just tweeted about you.
I at-mentioned you.
Yeah, I'll put your name on a tweet, and you'll get all this business from
me. I'm giving you exposure bucks. Yeah. All right, 5 hours ago, he tweets out, "It's okay to believe you are the best and never allow others to deteriorate that motive."
You know what? That's a hashtag nice message to the kids.
Be your best. Hashtag you are.
Yeah.
You
believe in yourself, basically.
And always be your best.
He's a mentor. He's teaching the kids.
1 hour ago, retweet if your fantasy team misses me.
Ask OJ. Did OJ retweet that? Because OJ lost all his guys. Lost Andrew Luck.
Oh,
man. How far away from it's amazing.
Reality?
Hello, Twitter world.
He's far away from reality. Sort of like OJ, far away from reality right now. Pedro's in the car. Hello, Pedro.
Hey, gentlemen. How's it going?
What's up, Pedro?
Hey, look, I've been wanting to make a case with you guys for, I know you guys have been talking about, you know, these guys being the best defense of all time for the Pats, you know, and all that. Anybody want to make a mention for the 2004
New England
Patriots?
Well, yeah. Sure. We've compared them to 04.
Yeah, I think, in all honesty, those guys, I mean, if you go down that list, And I mean, even just from the linebackers to the secondary to Vince Wilfork, I mean, you're looking at potentially like probably 5 or 6 Hall of Famers from that defense. I don't see 5 or 6 Hall of Famers in this defense.
In 04, though, you didn't see that either.
No, you didn't see it
in 04.
I would even say in 07, nobody was saying that.
Right.
And here's the other thing I would say about this defense, and Teddy brought it up. Who's their nemesis? Other than Kansas City, but really, that is even it, because it's only 1 year. But other than, there's no Peyton Manning. There's nobody out there. There's no Ben Roethlisberger.
It's Mahomes.
That's it, Mahomes.
Yeah, there's no parity in the NFL either, like the way it was back then. I mean, you got a lot. I mean, I hate to say it. I, of course, love the Pats.
Yeah, but Pedro,
you played a lot of scrubs.
Yeah, but you play who is on your schedule. I will say this. 5 games, and I am more convinced than ever that even though they have played stiffs through most of the first 5 games, that we're going to be talking about this as a historical great defense at the end of the season.
I think they're going to be that good. It's going to be a mercy killing.
Right.
They should bring out that little league rule where if you score a certain amount of points, you know, before the third quarter, that the game should just end.
How many times over the years when we're talking about the Patriots defense, we're talking about bend don't break. We're talking about they can't cover anybody man to man. Well, they got 2 guys that can cover on both ends, man to man, and then they've got a free safety that can chase everything down right now, right? It's amazing the stuff that they can do.
It was amazing. I just pulled up 04 because we said, you know, tomato cans, right? You know what? 2004 in the AFC, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams under 500, and 2 of them are 7-9. That's it. 6 teams under 500, 2 of them are 7-9. Like the Dolphins were 4-12, the Browns are 4-12, Buffalo 9-7, Jets 10-6. Like it was like everybody. Pittsburgh was 15-1 that year.
Yeah.
How many teams do you think can be under 500 this year? More than half?
Yes.
I mean, seriously.
And the teams that are above 500 are
playoff
not
teams.
A legit
8, 9, and 7
team. So an above 500 team would be Buffalo. That would be an above 500 team. If you think they're going to go 9-7 like I do, Baltimore, Houston. I don't know. Indy, they got 10-6, 11-5. Everybody, San Diego, Oakland.
They're in L.A. now, by the way.
You got 9 already.
Always
16 under 500. 9 of them.
Yeah. I'll tell you,
the league's bad.
Sort of like baseball. It's like having the Baltimore Orioles in your division, right?
I mean, you know, we're going to make fun of the Orioles.
Right. So this
and
game,
everybody else, you might as well make fun of the Jets and Miami and Cincinnati and freaking Denver, everyone.
The best thing Fox did for this game. So we talked about Rob Gronkowski is going to be an analyst now.
Yeah, pre-game.
Every Thursday, right, for Fox? Or will he do Thursdays and Sundays?
I think he's doing Sunday as well.
I never lost in the stock market.
Okay, so he's going to do They knew that this game was going to be such a dog. They picked this game to showcase Gronk because this game is going to suck.
They're showcasing him because it's the New England Patriots. They worked out a deal, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's tied in with wrestling, because they're doing wrestling now on Fox as well. So there's probably a tie-in. Is it Friday night? Is that when they do the Friday night SmackDown? So they're tying it in. That's probably part of the package. I think he might be good on that because you can be kind of goofy or whatever.
And
on
it's
that.
To be a purpose, to be have passion in my life.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I'm not sure he's going to be real good at this
okay,
one.
Okay, so do you think David Ortiz is good?
No.
Pedro Martinez?
Matter of fact, last night, I don't know if you were watching it last night, but David Ortiz was all hung up on
the big hurt?
Talking to players about how his babysitter thinks they're all hot. And I'm sitting there going, okay, David, you know.
Well, I mean, see, this is the
one personality that you could have there, but it doesn't have anybody strong enough around him.
No.
In my opinion.
No. No.
That's all.
No. And A-Rod is kind of backed off right now. Yeah. If you've seen him, he's kind of almost goes out of his way to make sure that he takes care of Frank Thomas and he takes care of David.
You know what, though?
He doesn't want to in any way disagree with him.
I don't think it matters if he's good or not.
Gronk?
Because
no, it's grown.
I remember when my old
so maybe
thing
he
used
should
be
goofy then.
A lot of the great players always get a shot at being on TV, ESPN, ABC, whatever. But the good ones stay. The good ones, the guys who are good at it, no longer rely on their their history and their performance on the field. It only takes you so far. Emmitt Smith, Jerry Rice, those guys that couldn't make it. Jerome Bettis couldn't make it. They replaced him with Rodney Harrison, who was 100 times better than Jerome Bettis.
Yes.
He went from NBC, then he went to ESPN. He still sucked. So, but guys like Gronk, to me, I'll compare him to like a young Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw, when he came out in a bunch of movies, all personality, still doesn't make any sense nowadays. Honestly, if you watch it, the other guys, the Tony Gonzalez's, those guys, they make sense. Michael Strahan, Long, all those guys make sense. But he just is kind of like a character. No,
that's a good example.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like if you have a panel of four,
yeah,
you know what I mean, and you have three guys breaking it down, you got a personality, right? I mean, that's
they're not going to bring him to the board and say, "Hey, break this down." They're going to say, how did this coverage rotate? What do you see here? Why did he get the ball? What kind of defense are they running?" I mean, he's a very smart football player. Give him that all day long. But I know when I played, we didn't even care about coverages, and we cared about where's the strong safety, is it cover two, and where's the outside linebacker. That's it. You didn't care about any of that other stuff. So to think that he's going to know 4-7, all that other stupid stuff, is ridiculous.
Well, they're not going to use that to bore down the audience anyway. They're not doing that. They're not going to do that. I think you're right. I think the Bradshaw one was a very good example. You haven't been real good this week with trying to make those analogies. This was a good one on your part because he can be goofy and every once in a while.
That's what you're hiring for.
Right. Every once in a while, make a comment that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay? Not all the time.
No.
We kind of want you to be silly.
Right.
We want you to do something stupid.
Yeah, because that's just football talk.
So I don't know. I've actually never really heard him break down a game or really be insightful about it because when everybody was asking him a question, he doesn't sound like Matthew Slater. Oh, we forgot to ask Teddy about Matthew Slater. That's the one question we didn't ask.
We got another performance coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, tweet it. What grade do you give this one?
So we can't do that.
I think he is going to be fine. Right, I'm not going to go all Greg Hill and be like, "No, he's going to be awesome." No, he's going to be fine.
Let me hear the Greg Hill impression again.
Greg,
poor Greg was like confused today.
What?
Whether the Halloween had been canceled, like in Framingham or Natick or whatever,
it was
mass confusion.
I listened to that show all morning.
And kids are listening to that show in Framingham and hearing that Halloween's canceled.
Like Lou needs to represent. So I think as far as Gronk is concerned, did you think Randy Moss was going to be any good?
No, not really. Not really.
I like him, though.
What about Ray Lewis is another one.
He's got fired
again,
in every one of the jobs.
He got
canned in Dancing with the Stars. He claimed he got hurt.
But Ray Lewis is the guy who said, "Hey, Ray, just be you."
Penalty it was.
Ray Lewis takes himself way too seriously, so it didn't work for
him.
How
about a little bit less you?
I don't get what you're saying.
Can you be more, Bryant Gumbel?
What time is it, Brian?
Can you be a little bit more Chris Gasper?
Because I'm pissed off.
You're right, though. His personality to be there, it's a good time to bring him out in a crap game, draw some attention with Gronk.
It's New England.
Talk
so he
about
knows
this
New England,
team.
It'll be
talk
easy
about, yeah,
for him.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
He'll talk about New England. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Fox deal
is tied in with wrestling, because he's not going to go into the ring and get the crap feed out of him. But as an announcer now, he can be part of the shtick, right? He can be part of the whole thing. And maybe that's what it's all about. But this is what he's going to do now? So what happened to the movie industry and
it's coming.
TV shows and acting?
Little by little.
Yep.
He's going to do it all.
Inch. CBD.
He might be the Masked Singer this year.
Whoa. You know, here's the thing.
Antonio Brown can't do it again.
He's too big for the Masked Singer. He's too big for
too tall?
Have you seen the people who are... Okay, Antonio Brown was... Have you seen some of the singers that are revealed?
You watched
it? I watched it. My kids love it. Yeah. I hate it. Oh, well, I will only watch it.
I do it because I'm a good father.
I will only watch it on DVR because I can't stand it. I don't know. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that.
Victor Oladipo's on it this year.
Every time I win, I just gotta dance, even if it gets me in trouble.
Maybe somebody who's gone too far with dancing.
That was Antonio. But Oladipo's the thing.
He was right, though. He does go too far.
Yeah, he does go too far.
Yeah, but again,
texts.
Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
I'm not going to compare.
Is he on it this year?
Yeah, he's the thingamajig.
So he already lost.
It isn't really official, but it's him.
So you couldn't.
We've already. Mason sit there and figure it out.
You're into the show now.
Yeah, loves it. It's obvious, Tim, if you know.
So basketball players are difficult, though, because you're right. They're so big. So Taco Fall couldn't do this, right?
Probably not.
Put a big mask on.
Probably not. That would be a tough one.
Maybe they, work some stilts.
By the way,
kinda...
did you see the other night in the Celtics? The other night in the Celtics game, Taco Fall comes into the game, and now we have social media, so people can inform everybody in the world what is going on at the TD Garden other than the scrunched-in seats. And the ratings for NBC Boston, when that happened, went up 56%.
And it's a blocko by Taco.
56%.
I want to see it.
So people right now, and he wasn't bad in the game. Here's the problem I have with it. I'm looking at the roster, and I'm trying to figure out how you fit him into this roster. And is he going to become a sideshow? Is that what we want? Do we want the victory cigar? We want the who's the guy?
Gino.
Do we want the new Gino at the end of the game?
Scalabrini,
you're winning the game,
slash
and you put Taco. Or do you really believe that eventually, because of his height, if you teach him the game, you improve the free throw shooting, you change his game, he learns how to really play defense other than just blocking shots because he's so much bigger than everybody else, that you can spend time with him, put him up in Maine for the year or most of the year, and let him play 28, 30 minutes every night? Do you want to make him a basketball player, or do you want to make him a freak show?
What you want to make him is, every single time, like you said, he's the human cigar, because when he comes in, this is what it sounds like. We got
now this kid,
and that kid,
and this kid, Taco Fall. I'm not going to prejudge him.
Nope.
But he just dwarfs Diablo.
My God, he's the biggest guy on the floor. He dwarfs him. Now, what I'm going to say about this guy for a 7'6" guy, has got the athletic ability of a 6'8" guy. All he's missing is enough experience about the game of basketball.
Tommy, come on. 6'8" guy, come on. Please. Ooh, what 6'8" guy? 6'8" guy that's about 70 pounds overweight or whatever. It can't move out
of his
way.
I would say for his size, he is athletic. He's not like Manute Bol
that you look at
and say, oh, my God.
No.
The wind right now is going to blow him over.
But he doesn't know the game. He can't make free throws right now. And he made one of two, and they gave him standing ovation the other night. But he becomes a freak show. And I don't think that's fair to him, because it sounds to me like the way they're talking about him, he seems to be a terrific young man.
Who's the 13th man in the bench? I'm just saying, could it be?
Well, the problem.
Could he be a guy on inbounds play?
No.
Seconds to go? Just put him under the hoop?
No. Because you've got too many guys that are already in this roster. So right now you have two-way contracts. You got the Tremont Waters kid, and Max Struss has a two-way contract. I think the best case scenario right now is maybe to dump one of those two and sign him to a two-way contract if he's willing to go along with it. And then he spends most of the year at Maine, and every once in a while you bring him down if you lose a couple of your big guys, and you let him get a few minutes in an NBA game.
And the Tacos going wacko!
It's unbelievable. All right, we got last calls coming up next.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
Oh, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
You know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Hands down, not stretch my thumb.
When's it gonna f***ing end?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now. It's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
We all like, you know, these pregame hype speeches and whatever, right?
And not me. I hate them.
You don't like them?
No, I despise them.
How about at
them.
The Pop Warner level when you get one kid who's just, you know, he's that guy.
I like it.
They have value at that level.
We got a kid who's hyping up his Pop Warner guys.
Like, when I saw Cole get angry, I want to see all of you do that. Because if you do that, you're determinated to the game. I'm not saying be what person, be you, but also have passion. Be determined. Be this team. Be a maverick. And when we get on that field, let's show the Cisco Lobos how to be a maverick. Let's show them. Let's show that we can beat them on their home field.
I love this. I like it.
So not bad.
I like his voice.
Beat him in the snow.
Yeah.
We'll go to New England.
Not bad.
Beat Brady.
They lost 42 to nothing that day.
Shut up. Did they really?
42.
From great opportunities. That's what you have here tonight, boys.
I love this.
That's
another great one.
I love this kid. Here tonight.
Oh, I love that
one,
too.
He's got the pause on the whole works.
I like that kid.
We mentioned that Steve Kerr still had nothing to say again today about the situation over in China. And Trump had been quiet on this one to this point. He couldn't help himself today. He was asked about the whole situation with NBA and China.
Well, the NBA is a different thing. I mean, I watch this guy, Steve Kerr, and he was like a little boy. He was so scared to be even answering the question. He couldn't answer the question. He was shaking. Oh, I don't know. He didn't know how to answer the question. And he'll talk about the United States very badly. I watched Popovich, sort of the same thing, but he didn't look quite as scared, actually. But they talk badly about the United States, but when it talks about China, they don't want to say anything bad. I thought it was pretty sad, actually.
I hate to say I agree with him.
Finally checks in. By the way.